This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Happy to have you with us as we roll along here on a Monday afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike is off this week. Nate Geary sitting in for a couple of days here. Zach Jones on the wheels of steel. And we welcome in on the West Hur Hotline our main man, Sal Capaccio, who spent another morning watching the Bills practice. But, Sal, we're already running out of runway here. It seems like these things go by faster and faster every year. I know they're probably generally around the same amount of time frame each year, but, man, it just seems wild to me that camp is, the Rochester portion of camp, is already getting ready to close down.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's like your kids, right? Grow up too fast, right. Out the door too soon, right? I guess. I haven't experienced the second part of that yet, thank goodness.
Yeah, you know, me either.
Trying to savor every moment, just like, okay, there you go. Trying to savor every moment just with the Bills as well here at training camp because, you know, we love being out at Fisher. They do such a great job, and it does go very quickly. It's just such a great environment for practice, but here we go. I mean, it's preseason week. It's game week. After Thursday, they're done. They come back home. Yeah, it's gone pretty quickly, you know? And for me, more than anything, you know, you're reporting on the team, you're covering the team, but every day in the back of my head, just get through this practice and no injuries, get through this practice and no injuries, right? You think about that. I'm looking online, I'm watching this Za'Darius Smith injury. Like, don't know what happened. A knee injury, non-contact for the Browns, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the worst. It's the worst thing that could happen in a training camp setting, in a preseason setting. And, you know, you knock on wood that they can get healthy. The Bills have quite a lengthy injury list right now, but, you know, right now thankfully, I would say the longest is a week-to-week type of designation that already started last week.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but at least it doesn't seem like there's anything really threatening happening there. We'll see if any of these things linger, like the hamstring with Mike Edwards, one of the safeties. But, yeah, there's been nothing, you know, devastating, I guess, to this point, which is good news. I'm the same way, Sal. I mean, I'm not there watching practice, but when I know like it's winding down or even as it's going on, I'm sort of scrolling Twitter with like one eye open. Like I don't want to see a bunch of tweets from people saying somebody's on the ground. I just don't want to see it. It is tough. So we got a lot to cover here because we haven't talked to you, you know, since Friday. What stands out here today? Is it Kyer Elam working with the ones again? How often has that been happening, and what exactly do you think could happen at the cornerback position?
Yeah, let me start with just kind of backtracking a little bit because we say that and neither of us mentioned, and I should, and I apologize that, you know, Andy Isabella did go off today on a cart. Andy Isabella went off on a cart today.
That's right.
And, you know, now we don't know the severity or anything like that, but it was a play where he caught the ball in the middle of the field near the hashes, and he kind of turned inside, and Deshaun Williams, a big defensive tackle, was running full speed from his defensive tackle spot to get there. You know, you're not really supposed to have contact like this at, like, really hard contact like this at these camp practices, but I really don't know what Deshaun Williams kind of could have done there from my vantage point. Like, he's running hard, and I don't think he anticipated Isabella to turn into him, right? So when he did, Andy's feet got kind of caught where they were, and his body was going one way. He crumpled to the ground. There was Alec Anderson jumped in right away. He was upset, and he went after, you know, somebody, and then a big melee broke out, and, you know, was kind of afterwards, you know, everybody separating. And this is the most I've seen guys kind of go at it a little bit after. It was a lot of jawing, including Josh Allen, who was involved actually after all this. And then when it was all said and done, Bulldog, Andy Isabella was still on the ground for a moment. They brought him over to the sideline. He was down more with trainers. Then they put him on the cart and he got taken into the locker room. So we'll keep update on, you know, what is going on there with Andy Isabella.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because the way we were both talking there was like, you know, knock on wood so far, but that could be serious. We'll see. So I'm glad I knew that, and it escaped my consciousness as we were talking here, getting going here. So how about
Kyrie Elam?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So Elam and Benford have mostly been kind of rotating, but every once in a while they'll be on the field together with Russell Douglas out, right? So it really is a 2.5-man rotation, you know what I mean? Like, it's Russell Douglas gets most of the first team reps. Every once in a while he'll back off, and it'll be Elam and Benford. But Elam and Benford generally do rotate for the second spot opposite Russell. So I think this is truly right now, at least from the perception of it, a competition. How real it is that Kyrie Elam can win the job, I'm not really sure myself, because I think it would take a heck of a, you know, real few weeks here in the preseason from him, coupled with Benford having a down preseason, for him to pass him and for us to get there. It's not like Benford's played poorly, right, this camp. And so for Elam to be there, I think they're still, hey, he's making plays. As long as he's making plays, he's going to be in this thing. And why not push Christian Benford, right? I mean, like, what's the downside of that? So today, Elam started off with the first team for 11-on-11. They did whatever amount of plays, 6-7 plays. The next time they went first team 11-on-11, it was Christian Benford. This has kind of been happening every day. One starts, the other goes in a little bit later, and then every once in a while you mix in both of them on the field at the same time. What does it mean for Kyrie Elam? I think it's a great sign. It's a great sign that they have enough faith that he's still part of that mix. It just reminds me of Dane Jackson, Levi Wallace, whoever it is. Mm-hmm. There's always seems to be a third guy who kind of is in this mix until we get to the regular season, and then he's not the starter, but they have faith that they can bring him in.
Would they be open, do you think, to any, has this maybe even come up yet, with Bobby Babich or Sean McDermott, Sal, a timeshare once the season, you know, gets going here, if they want to utilize both guys? Or do you think it will be like someone wins the job and the other guy's the backup?
There's precedent, right? They've done it before. They've had rotation. Remember the year they had Josh Norman, Kevin Johnson, or whoever it was Kevin Johnson, somebody, I can't remember for sure, but Josh Norman maybe been a different year, but they had a little rotation there. It was Levi Wallace, I think, is who it was, but they had every two series they would do this. It also could be maybe a different team, a game plan, a scheme. You know, Elam's different than Benford. They're both kind of longer guys, but I think, you know, Elam's game is much more a little bit in your face, press a little bit at the line. He's not as great of a zone defender. Benford is a better zone defender. You know, maybe, and they're a pretty heavy zone team, but maybe if they go against a team where they feel they really need a little more man-to-man, maybe that's when Kyrie Elam could come in. I think it's probably more of a backup situation, though. They'll name the two guys, and then they'll be comfortable with somebody being the backup. That'll be probably, to me, it'll still be Kyrie Elam, unless those two things happen. He has just an outstanding rest of the camp and preseason, and Benford just kind of doesn't. And on the other side, you have Jamarcus Ingram, who I think is having a really good camp. And I think they have a lot of faith right now, at least the way they're treating it, Bulldog, in what their top four can look like. And I'm still concerned, and I'm just a little less concerned maybe than I was a few weeks ago. It was my number one concern going in was, you know, you guys would say to me, what's, you know, your concern? I say depth in the secondary, specifically outside corner. Like, to me, that's it, because you don't know what Kyrie Elam's going to be. Well, the way Elam's been this camp, the way that Jamarcus Ingram's been this camp, I feel a lot better about it. But it doesn't mean there's still not concern, because you have a guy that it just hasn't happened for yet, and you have a guy that's really never had to do it yet.
Sal, I want to ask you about the safety position, because obviously that's been a concern for people since the injuries to Mike Edwards and obviously Cole Bishop, and both of them on the sidelines right now not practicing. And I think if you asked Sean McDermott, you know, they've got, you know, DeMar Hamlin. So they've got a guy who's been in the system, understands the system. But I think if you were thinking that either Mike Edwards or Cole Bishop would at least start the year as a starter, or Cole Bishop maybe later on this season, couldn't be two more difficult guys to have missing time out there, because time in practice, getting to know where Taylor Rapp's going to be, or DeMar Hamlin if he's on the field. I feel like that position in general right now, with the lack of experience in this defense, is the biggest disadvantage, because they're just not getting, like, you know, on field experience with each other, and we know how much that, how important that is to the safety position in this scheme.
Yeah, you know, Nate, I mean, it's not like Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, if they had missed some time. You just kind of know that whenever they come back, they come back, they're going to be fine, they plug right in, and yeah, that's not the case here. These are two guys who are new to the team. Mike Edwards, as I've said many times, is very familiar with the system. It's a very similar system he ran both in Tampa and he was in both Tampa and Kansas City. But it's not the exact same. I mean, you know, he's still going to have some nuances that are different. And obviously, Cole Bishop, you know, he ran a high-level system at Utah, no doubt about it. But it's completely different now in the NFL. So no doubt about it, those are the two. That's the biggest disadvantage for both guys right now being injured. The other thing I would say is voices. I mean, communication. The thing that made Jordan and Micah so special, beside how good they were, is they were so great at nonverbal communication. They could look at each other and know exactly what to do, especially in a very loud Highmark Stadium when the defense is on the field and everybody's going crazy because the opposing team's offense. They couldn't talk to each other. They had to communicate nonverbally. They had to look at each other. They had to understand. That, to me, is what you're missing a lot of here with Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards. Now, when either of them are healthy, let's just say Cole Bishop was healthy and Mike Edwards wasn't, which was the case, you know, maybe a week ago. It doesn't mean Cole Bishop's necessarily even starting over DeMar Hamlin. It could still be DeMar Hamlin. He was started the first day of training camp. I think, though, when Mike Edwards is healthy, I think he's the starter. I think Mike Edwards is the starter with Taylor Rapp. I think that's the plan. You just got to get him back healthy. But, yes, that is absolutely true that they're missing a lot of reps. You know what Bobby Babbage said about it? He was asked, How do you maintain? How does a guy like Cole Bishop do it? He said, you get creative. You have to figure out ways to get him mental reps, ways to get him to understand what's going on without him being out there. You know, he can stand on the field and watch. He can probably stand on the field and walk through and be in a certain spot when they do that. Those kinds of things he can do. But he's not getting on the field in live action right now. So how do you get creative to give him those mental reps? Good example of live radio here. Our buddy Matt Bove, my co-host on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, just texted me. He said he saw Andy Isabella walking after practice with his left leg wrapped. He was walking, so that's good news. But it was wrapped, but he was walking.
All right, good to know. Thanks to Matt. Yeah. Thanks to you for sharing that, and Matt for sharing it with you. Matt, and it gives us an opportunity to promote tomorrow's show. Matt's going to be on with us at 4:00 tomorrow.
Nice. There you go.
He'll be, his debut on this show. I think he's been on the morning show, and I know you obviously do this podcast with him and have talked to him on Extra Point numerous times. So we're excited for that. On Hamlin, I wanted to ask you this, Sal, and I don't know that I got to it last week. You know, we talk a lot about guys coming back from injuries. Von Miller, Tre'Davious White, ramp up period, right? It can take an extra year. We all know what happened to DeMar Hamlin in January a couple years ago was not your typical football injury. So it's a very different scenario, and I think that can linger in a different way with what happened to him. I wonder if you have any sense at all of how much more, I don't know, prepared to play. We all know how courageous he was to get back on the field last year, and that was very compelling to see. I wonder if he's talked at all about being more prepared to be a player if called upon after, you know, going through it and getting through a season without anything going wrong.
It's a great question. You know, Bobby Babbage actually was asked a little bit about that today in a different kind of way. And you know, I like his answer and I respect it. And I think I agree, just knowing kind of being there and everything that happened with DeMar and, you know, going through this and being, you know, closer down there, which is, there was just so much that went along with last year with DeMar Hamlin. It's not the injury itself. It's not a recovery, right? He's not recovering from the broken leg. Yes, we know what happened in, you know, cardiac arrest on the field, but he was healthy enough to play last year. There wasn't an issue of can he play or can't he play. He was really a healthy scratch is what he was. So, but everything that surrounded the storyline and everything, no matter where you went, and it was a big deal. And for him to, you remember all the benchmarks we had, first time putting on a helmet, first time dressing for practice, first time in a preseason game, first time in a regular season game, which actually happened, I think, week 4 against Miami. I think that's when he actually played his first game last year because Jordan Poyer was out. Like that, there was a lot that was going on, a lot surrounding him. And the way Bobby Babbage described it is, you know, now it's not as much like that now. Now it's Not that he wasn't concentrating on football, but it makes it way easier to concentrate on football, to just kind of be a football player. You're a year and a half removed, and more than that, over what happened, and you're getting past all that other stuff that was happening last year that everyone wanted to talk about all the time. And let's not forget, guys, he is a four-year veteran in this system. To Nate's point earlier, we all know this is a system that is not easy. This is why I always tell people, like, don't expect Cole Bishop to just walk in and be a starter. Like, if he does it, that's great. That's hard to do in this system. Like, your system, this system has to be very, very trusting. In fact, I love Bobby Babcock. If you guys get a chance, go listen to what he said about the safeties. He talked about how much they put on their safeties, how much they have to trust the safeties, how much that they really have to know. Like, it's really interesting. And it just kept saying to me, yeah, like, you can't just throw Cole Bishop in there as a rookie right now. You just can't. Not after what he's saying here. You know who you can for them? DeMar Hamlin. The question with him is he physically gifted enough to be able to do the things you need to do in the system? I think they feel they can get by with him if they needed to, but he's not necessarily a 17-game starter, but I think they feel comfortable with him as a number three, number four safety. It's a reason why Cam Lewis still plays safety on this team. Mm-hmm. Is Cam Lewis the most physically gifted safety? No, we all know that. He's a smaller guy. But they know that Cam Lewis knows exactly where to be and when to be there. The question is, like, if he's going to have to be there, like a Justin Jefferson play, right? We all know what happened there.
Right.
But that's why Cam Lewis is still on this team to play some safety aside from his normal backup nickel spot.
Sal, and I think, too, the Bills have already proven that they can get by several games with DeMar Hamlin and not really miss a beat. I mean, of course, again, he was not prime Micah Hyde, but he fit in pretty nicely, and they kind of just cruised along. And I think that's where their confidence will probably stem from. And I think, you know, maybe coming back to the original point of the question was, I think it's more so less about Cole Bishop potentially being a starter or even Mike Edwards being a starter. You just want, at that position in particular, you want newcomers to feel like they can do this stuff, not just on the fly and in the classroom, but like, you know, in preseason games and in practice, where that's really where that experience, it, to me, you know, another quote that stood out to me, Sal, was Rasul Douglas. Like, hey, what the heck made you so successful? You walked into a new scheme and you led the team in interceptions at the trade deadline. Well, he's like, well, you know, when you got Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer back there, it's yeah. that's who I listen to. But that defense doesn't have that. But I think, it, to your point in the system, Sal, the corners do rely a lot. Their success really is reliant on how good the safeties can be as well, especially at communicating.
You know, people make fun of the, you know, all the different slogans and sayings and things like that that football coaches and Sean McDermott come up with, and be your 111th, right? I get it. Like, that people, okay, that's just another one. Well, it truly is for the defense. This defense, guys, since Sean McDermott became the coach, has really always been more about the sum than the parts. Although the parts have been good and you had all pros, it's never been, until they signed Von Miller, a future Hall of Famer, to come in and be the closer and let's go try and win a Super Bowl with this guy. Until that happened, they didn't go out and sign big name free agents. They had some first round picks, yes, but it really was all about working together in a system. And if you do that, you're going to be highlighted. I think Matt Milano's a perfect example. Matt Milano's a fifth-round draft pick, right? I mean, he came in, he didn't even start halfway through his first season in the league. But because he fits the system so well, and because he's so smart, everything he does gets accentuated and highlighted. And that's what this system is about. So what you're saying, Nate, is right, because it's all-encompassing. You need, the corners need the safeties to communicate, and the safeties need the linebackers to communicate. That's all part and parcel. I'm watching Rasul Douglas. Last week there was a play, and it was one of those, it was that third and long day that Von Miller had the really nice day. You guys remember that, right? It was the second mm-hmm. day pass. Von Miller has the third and long day. And I remember thinking, there was a play where
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bills, the defense blitzed the offense. And Rasul Douglas, he knew there was a blitz, and he cheated to where he knew the hot read would be. Like, that's smart. That's communicating, right? He saw that blitz is coming. I know they're going to throw hot here because I know that's where my blitz is coming. That's not him. That's so smart, like, to know the system. And sure, you can say it. Anybody, any normal football player can do that. Well, it takes a lot of guts to do that, too. That's why he had interceptions last year, because he understands. He's taking a calculated risk in that spot, and that's why he can fit in that system, because he understands everything that's going on in front of him.
Yeah, man. It makes every football fan that, you know, knows anything about it nuts, I think, when you see five or six guys rushing the passer and the secondary playing soft off
receive. Right.
Like, what are you doing?
That's right.
We need some synergy here. You got to be up on these guys because the ball's going to come out quick. Sal, before we wrap for today, I have been meaning to ask you about a player pretty far down the depth chart for, I don't even know how many of these appearances, maybe a half a dozen or more, and right. We just always run out of time. Zach Davidson, tight end. Like, I don't know how much of a look, if at all, do you think he's got? Is he a developmental guy, maybe a year on the practice squad? Because 6'6", 250, reads like he can move pretty well for a dude that size. Like, does he have a shot at this thing, you think, or no?
I'm so glad you asked me about him. I've been kind of pumping his tires here for a couple of weeks, and now it's kind of getting more to a crescendo from everybody else and people watching and seeing what he's doing. If you go out there, you could see it. If I did a 53-man roster projection today, Bulldog, I have Zach Davidson as the third tight end. I would have him over Quentin Morris, and that's not because Quentin Morris isn't good enough to play. It is a tough call because Quentin Morris is an outstanding special teams player, and I wonder what they're going to want to do. Maybe you keep four tight ends. It might be a year where you got to do that, given what they want to do on special teams. I don't know. But Zach Davidson is making plays. Now, let's remember this guy's path. He was a fifth-round pick of the Minnesota Vikings a few years ago. They waived him. The Bills claimed him, put him on their practice squad the whole year. Okay, his claim to fame in a Bills uniform was when he was standing on the sidelines in street clothes in a game and Quay Walker pushed him and got ejected. Okay, that was him. He was, and that's what happened in that right. Sunday night game against the Green Bay Packers. All right, Zach Davidson, wow, guy just standing out there. Well, last year he started out in OTAs, and it was either right then at OTAs or right before minicamp, tore his ACL. Never had a chance. Put on injury reserve right away, full year of rehab. He's still around. The Bills kept him around. He's now making plays. This guy can catch the ball. He can catch the ball. He can make plays. I don't know how good of a blocker he's going to be or he translates to. It doesn't feel like it's really part of his game from everything I've watched. But I'm telling you this. Not only do I think he can be the third tight end, I think he can be the third tight end and actually play in 12 personnel sometimes with Dalton Kincaid in lieu of Dawson Knox. Dawson's a very well-rounded player. But to me, Dawson's more of your guy that can kind of do a little bit of everything. You want an extra guy in the red zone, a guy who's going to catch the ball. Like, you could really cause some matchup problems for teams with Zach Davidson. He makes plays every day at practice, every day. I just don't know how well-rounded he is, other than the fact that he actually was a college punter as well.
Sal, I didn't really get to see enough of the Hall of Fame game to get a real clear feel on
me neither, buddy. I watched zero plays.
Yeah, right. I would have liked to watch more, but I didn't watch any of it. But I guess the reason I wanted to ask you this question is, how much have they been working on the new kickoff stuff at practice? Because I think to your point about Quentin Morris versus, you know, Davidson potentially making the team is, like, what kind of player they've got out there in those special teams moments? Or, like, you know, are they going with more speed or more physical guys, like linebackers versus, you know, wide receivers and corners and safeties? Like, I do wonder how much those new kickoff rules and the types of body frames and position types that they're going to want out there also maybe makes this decision for the team as well.
Nate, I mean, let's go back. Bulldog, how long have we been talking about this? Crazy, right? We still don't know. I mean, we've gone back to March. We've gone back to the owners' meetings in March when this...
Right.
I remember the day this happened, Bulldog, and we were like, what does this mean for the guys they want to keep? Like, what does it look like? Are these more linebackers? Nate, honestly, I don't know. You know what's crazy to me is, like, Matthew Smiley, I have talked with him a lot about this. Every day we kind of chat a little bit about this stuff. And he tells me, like, Sal, like, we don't know until we get out there. Like, you're going to have stuff happen and go, oh, well, why did we do that? And another team, whoa, this was great. I'm glad we did that. Oh, this team is doing that. This team, well, let's not do. it is wild. Like, there's going to be every week they're going to be morphing into something else. And that, to me, could really cause a churn at the bottom of the roster, which could be very interesting for teams this year.
Yeah, you are so right about, still having no idea, despite having all this time to sit with it. I did watch almost every snap of the Hall of Fame game. I'm the guy. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. And the kickoffs were, they looked different. Certainly, but there really wasn't much to it. You know, like they drive starts were around the 25, like nothing really happened. But I wonder, I don't know if Smiley has said this, Sal, or just other special teams coordinators around the league. I just know I've seen reference to teams are maybe not going to show what they want to do really with it, even in the preseason. So we're going to have to wait until September. And so this speculation is only going to continue, it sounds like.
Yes, it's really wild to me. So you're right about that. They're not going to show anything, but you know what else they're going to do? They're going to kick it. They're not going to kick it through the end zone because they have to evaluate their team. Mm-hmm. They have to evaluate their roster. They want to see these guys actually get off blocks. So what you're going to see in the preseason primarily is we're going to actually kick it into the landing zone, but it's going to be vanilla. And then when they return, we're going to take it in the landing zone, and we're going to return it, and it's going to be vanilla. But I have no idea what that translates to. Does that still mean touchdowns? Is it not? I'm not really sure. Because we're going to get – what did we have the other night? 9 kickoffs, 8 of them actually were returned, and finally one of the teams says, you know what, I've seen enough. Let's just kick it through the end zone. I don't need to evaluate my roster anymore.
Right. I even saw one that got returned out of the end zone. Like, it would have been a touchback, but the guy decided to run it out, probably with what you're just saying in mind. Like, we need reps here.
Right.
So we all know what a touchback is. Let's see if I can run this back and just give everyone an opportunity to work on it. All right, Sal.
By the way, real quick, guys, the other issue with the other question with the Bills is this is something that we really need to start paying attention to starting Saturday, who the returners are. It's not just the guys that are blocking. There is no set returner, punt returner, kick returner. I think Daquan Hardy, I wrote about him today. Go check that out at WGR550.com. That's a guy in the mix here, but we don't know who the returners are, and I think that's something really interesting to watch over the next 3 weeks.
All right, will do, Sal. Thank you very much for this. We'll catch up later on during the week.
All right, you got it. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio's appearance here on the Wester Hotline with us, brought to you as always by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Also, let you know that the best of training camp each day is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. We'll take a time out here. We can talk more about the new kickoff rules. We haven't really sunk our teeth into the pecking order at receiver yet, which I'm looking forward to doing with Nate, and also the AFC East and the Jets and the Dolphins. We love when Nate gets loose about the Dolphins, so we'll tee him up for some of that. As we go here, lines are open for you. 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to join us. Nate Geary in for Mike Shope, along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
We're going to put a lot on Taylor Rapp. We're going to put a lot on all our safety. That's the expectation here. I'm probably harder on them than most positions. You know, when you're in your eighth year here, you understand the importance of that communication, and you never want to lose sight or take for granted the execution piece of what we've done over the 8 years. But that has no indication of what we're doing moving forward. So that heightened sense of awareness and urgency with that communication is all the time, no matter who's here, no matter what. There is a sense of urgency of how our safeties have to communicate.
That is Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich talking about the safety position and the communication and all that goes into that, sort of on the heels of the part of the conversation Nate and I were just having with Sal Capaccio during the previous segment. A lot of moving parts there. Didn't even have time to get to Sal with the news about Babich making it known today that he will be in the press box for games. And I don't think that has to mean that he's going to be calling the defense, but it's going to kind of blow my mind if he doesn't start out the season at least calling the defense. We think it's a lot easier to undo that than to start with McDermott doing it and then pivoting to Bobby Babich, who's never done it. Right? I wouldn't expect that. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But if you missed that early today, Babich, during that appearance that comment was pulled from, did make it known that he plans to be in the press box for the games. sort of maybe similarly to how Ken Dorsey talked about it when he became the Bills offensive coordinator, Babich basically said, like, I'm a lunatic on the field. Have you seen me at practice? You don't want me on the field. You need me sequestered. So we'll see if he smashes any laptops if things don't go his way the way Dorsey did that time in Miami. Anyway, 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to get in on anything Bills related here. Nate Geary in for Mike Schoep for a couple of days this week. I'm the Bulldog along with Zach Jones. There's maybe Ayuk news. What do we got here? I didn't find what you referred to, but you have something on a potential Niners Steelers trade.
Yeah, Grant Cohn, who covers the 49ers. He's been at practice since the start of training camp. Retweeted someone else who had tweeted that the Steelers and 49ers agreed to a trade that sends star receiver Brandon Ayuk to Pittsburgh. And that was 13 minutes ago. The tweet was sent, and then Grant Cohn, you know, retweeted it. So,
but we don't know what compensation is involved there. We would assume there'd be a contract extension attached to that because anything. Oh, Zach's raising his hand.
On that person that did tweet it out, Cam Marino, he's a national NFL analyst and lead draft writer for NFL Draft Buzz. Not necessarily saying he's definitely like credible, but it is interesting.
You definitely probably don't have a team reporter retweet that without that. And if it means anything to anyone, Antonio Brown's Twitter tweeted it out earlier today.
That definitely doesn't. That hurt.
Did
hurt,
it?
That all it does.
Oh,
is
he's
hurt.
Been.
All
he's
it does
been,
is hurt.
He's been every time he tweets out like a roster thing.
Oh,
it happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's like the thing with this thing is
it's a corner of credibility.
What was the big thing that happened? Was it a who got traded? That it was that he was like a month before it happened. He was like, oh, Diggs. He's like, Diggs is going to get traded. And then like 2 days before it was Houston, he was like, Diggs is going to Houston. So maybe players talk to him. I don't know.
Yeah, all right. I missed stuff. Yeah, all right.
There was also an Instagram post that was posted and then deleted from Ayuk in a plane that says, later, see you later, California, with a black and a yellow thing, and then he deleted it.
Ayuk deleted? Or
yes,
Antonio
it was
Brown?
Ayuk. It was okay. Ayuk, yeah. But, you know. I just love, you know, I love amateur breaking news stuff. I think that's where the world has gone anyways, right?
Yeah, I'd say something really cute here, like for better or for worse, but it's absolutely for the worse. There's nothing better about it. I mean,
it's not fun
way,
having to worry about having to check on to make sure that someone.
We just live in the dumbest time that's ever existed, which is amazing because we have access to more information and
than
intelligence
ever
than we've ever had. But we are lighting it on fire, and
quite literally
washing it down toilets, flaming toilets. That's basically the information age we're living in. Okay, good. We don't know the return yet if that is actually happening, but so much for, oh, they're not going to trade him, right? So much for the comfortable handshakes on the field last week that looked like, okay, we got through it. We're here. We're married. Good. Everybody's good. Good. So Ayuk continued to be dissatisfied and maybe is getting his way. Apparently he's happy to go to Pittsburgh, which is interesting. He said no to Cleveland. I don't know. Maybe that's personal. Probably some sort of personal preference. But man, I'm gonna need to see the trade return because I have loved that idea for the Bills for like since the minute Stephon Diggs. We were together that day that Diggs got traded, and I think Ayuk. We started thinking about him and hearing about him maybe wanting to get out of San Francisco right when the Diggs trade happened. It was like one of the first names that we got to, like, well, I don't know, maybe this guy. And man, I would sit in here with you that day and just think, of course they're going to make this move. Of course they are. They're not going to just go, along their way here, moving Diggs out of here. I know, but the dead money and everything, they could have made a contract extension work and fit, I think. But I'm going to want to see the price and then decide whether I'm going to freak out Someone certainly will, because someone freaks out about everything. As I say, that it won't be valid freaking out. Please disregard the commentary from 45 seconds ago about the flaming toilet. The because you know this is a I think provably excellent player at a position yeah. that the Bills are. I can't say provably thin at because we don't know yet what they're going to end up with that receiver. But on paper, sitting here right now, you know. There's just been a lot of talk about by committees and everybody eats and all this sort of stuff. And if Ayuk doesn't, it does indeed end up getting traded. I'm going to feel that the Bills missed an opportunity to make their team better right now instead of taking the gamble on, you know, this great experiment of Josh Allen's career here, which is, do I have enough receivers that can make this offense work?
I like Ayuk a lot. I think he's a great player. Ascending player.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so hard in the NFL because these primes, ascension is such a
right.
finite window that you end up more times than not trading for what a player did than what you're actually getting. And when you have to sign that player to the third most money per year of any receiver in the NFL, like maybe this trade was better before Waddle and
yeah,
Jefferson.
I definitely feel that.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
because,
yeah.
and again, the other part of this is Pickens, which we mentioned in the first hour. Like, he's going to be like, yo, he's making 31. Well, cool. I'll see you in a year because I want 34.
Right.
And then who knows how much the percentage of contracts, like wide receiver contracts are going through the roof bananas wise. That's got to, does that stop?
Maybe the Bills and
stop
what,
it.
The, what the
inadvertently stop it
right
by saying, well, we're like kind of the Patriots did for a long time.
The Chiefs the last 2 years,
yes,
didn't have it, like so
we can be very good with a great quarterback and not spend $30 million
yep.
or spend 25 on the entire position
yep.
rather than one player.
Either by design or just you know happenstance, the Bills could end up being a very interesting test case. On that, like, do we need? I know I've heard Doug Farrar and read Doug Farrar writing on this extensively. That maybe you know, maybe the Chiefs are onto something. Maybe the Packers are onto something. Like we're seeing
yeah.
a shift. You either have the quarterback on a rookie contract with the big with you know with the receivers getting all the money, or the opposite of that. Now there are. Exclusions, obviously. Philadelphia has a quarterback making a lot of money and two receivers getting
paid. And
now
so does Miami.
So does Miami now. So that you know, it's not across the board. We'll see what Detroit ends up doing in the long run. If they even find a, you know, it's Jameson Williams. Like, do they want to commit to him because they already have committed to St. Brown and the quarterback? So yeah, maybe the Bills may a lot of eyes will be on whether the Bills can do something similar to what the Chiefs did last year, which you got to be careful about it because the Chiefs were not a good offense last year.
No,
they won despite being a bad offense.
It's like, also the best defense in football.
Right, you do not want to strive to be a bad offense.
Like, right,
I think that's a that's too far. So we'll see. Like the Bills, we'll see if they can sort of keep pace with what they've been doing on offense without a $30 million receiver. I'll bet that gets a lot of eyeballs and a lot of notice around the league.
If the Bills are good on offense, though, Joe Brady might be one and done. If they're good
yep.
with Josh Allen, James Cook, and Dalton Kincaid, he's probably getting a head coaching job next year.
I think that's probably right. No, I mean, we want them to be good, right?
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
803-0550 is the number. It appears Brandon Ayuk is on the move from San Francisco to Pittsburgh. Is there an opportunity being missed here, as Bills fans see it, for the Bills to add a prominent, fantastic wide receiver to their team? 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to get in on that. Nate Geary's in for Mike Shope. I am the Bulldog. This is WGR. Cool to have you hanging with us today here on a Monday, a dreary, rainy, tornado Monday.
Like a real one.
Like a real one?
Like a real tornado.
Downtown Buffalo, not out in the sticks somewhere. Like just, yo. Anyway, hope everybody's doing all right out there. Still some volatile weather in the area, looks like. 803-0550 is the number. Nate Geary in for Mike. I'm the Bulldog. And it's fired up. Tony's first up this segment. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. I heard some comments about Ayuk, which I was scanning some online, and I haven't really seen any confirmation of that. But hypothetically speaking, if he does go to Pittsburgh, I know the question was posed before the break, did we miss out?
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't. This Diggs 2.0 all over again. We don't need this kind of attention. Buffalo is a small, you know, town, small city, blue collar. We believe in working hard, putting our best players out there, yes, but we don't need the drama. We don't need Brandon Ayuk. We definitely don't need to be paying some guy $30 million. I mean, come on. So I'll hang up and listen to see what you guys have to say.
All right. I think that that is a curiously small-minded approach. The idea that, like, you wouldn't do the Diggs trade again is insanity to me. It ended badly. Of course it did. And the Bills probably had to eat $31 million in dead money a year before they really wanted to, because Diggs forced their hand. Like, whatever was going on behind the scenes, it came to a head and they needed to make a move. But the 4 years, even with the junk last offseason and how his performance dwindled, deteriorated as last season went on, I still would make that trade 100 times out of 100. He changed the entire competitive complexion of this team when he walked in the door. And yes, there ended up being a downside to it. But man, the 4 years that he was here and the Bills were a Super Bowl contender the whole time, in large part because they had an incredibly volatile, explosive offense, I don't know why you don't want to sign up for that again. I mean, there's going to be egos, there's going to be divas, there's going to be, it's pro sports. And those things aren't all equal across the board, and sometimes you grit your teeth and you deal with it. Sometimes you get to the point where you can't deal with it anymore and you got to make a move, which the Bills did this past spring. But man, we don't need that aggravation. Just sounds like you are remembering how it ended and not how it went, because it went great.
They won a lot of games. His first season was historic. One of the best receivers. He went from being really good to absolutely unquestionably elite. And he helped bring Josh Allen from the status of, you know, young gunslinger with a really high ceiling to a player that is believed in the top three. I mean, it's...
Who isn't? We're all really curious to see if this by committee, everyone eats thing works for this offense. And look, it might, and the Bills might get paid off tremendously by not parting with assets. We still don't know what return there is on this trade, right? I haven't even seen a single mention of it on my timeline, but who can trust X.com anymore? So we don't know the cost of the trade. What is Pittsburgh sending the other way for this player? And if the Bills prove to be right, they will look like geniuses. But if they're wrong, they will have shoveled a prime year of Josh Allen's career into a landfill by choice. And that's the risk. Like, I don't know. I'm interested. I'm curious, just like anyone, to see whether they can get away with this. You know, a great way to not have to find that out is to replace Diggs on your roster, which is what Brandon Ayuk would do. So I don't know. We don't need the headache. Just sounds to me, the guy's talking about small town or whatever. The Bills are in the NFL. They are competing for Super Bowls against teams that are paying receivers $35 million a year. And if this doesn't work and they miss out on an opportunity to get a guy, man, I think there'd be a lot more people lining up on the other side of that conversation to talk about the small being the Bills not wanting to go for it than, you know, we're a small town and we're tight-knit and we don't need divas. I mean, I don't even know what to do with that, because it completely ignores the transformative effect Diggs had on the team while he was here. And I just don't think that's fair. 803-0550 is the number. Perhaps news of a big wide receiver trade in the NFL? Wither Bills fans, where are you? 803-0550 is the number. Nate Geary is in for Mike today. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ascending player.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so hard in the NFL because these primes, ascension is such a finite window that you end up more times than not trading for what a player did than what you're actually getting. And when you have to sign that player to the third most money per year of any receiver in the NFL, like maybe this trade was better before Waddle and Jefferson.
I definitely feel that.
And again, the other part of this is Pickens, which we mentioned in the first hour. Like, he's going to be like, yo, he's making 31. Well, cool. I'll see you in a year because I want 34.
Right.
And then who knows how much the percentage of contracts, like wide receiver contracts are going through the roof bananas wise. That's got to, does that stop?
Maybe the Bills and
inadvertently stop it.
Right.
By saying, well, we're like kind of the Patriots did for a long time.
The Chiefs the last 2 years.
Yes.
Didn't have it, like, so.
We can be very good with a great quarterback and not spend $30 million or spend $25 on the entire position rather than one player.
Either by design or just, you know, happenstance, the Bills could end up being a very interesting test case on that. Like, do we need? I know I've heard Doug Farrar and read Doug Farrar writing on this extensively, that maybe, you know, maybe the Chiefs are onto something, maybe the Packers are onto something. Like, we're seeing a shift. You either have the quarterback on a rookie contract with the big, with, you know, with the receivers getting all the money, or the opposite of that. Now, there are exclusions, obviously. Philadelphia has a quarterback making a lot of money and two receivers getting
paid.
And
now so does Miami.
So does Miami now. So that, you know, it's not across the board. We'll see what Detroit ends up doing in the long run. If they even find a, you know, it's Jameson Williams. Like, do they want to commit to him because they already have committed to St. Brown and the quarterback? The Bills may, a lot of eyes will be on whether the Bills can do something similar to what the Chiefs did last year, which you got to be careful about it because the Chiefs were not a good offense last year.
No.
They won despite being a bad offense.
It's like, also the best defense in football.
Right. You do not want to strive to be a bad offense.
Like, right.
I think that's too far. So we'll see. Like the Bills, we'll see if they can sort of keep pace with what they've been doing on offense without a $30 million receiver. I'll bet that gets a lot of eyeballs and a lot of notice around the league.
If the Bills are good on offense, though, Joe Brady might be one and done. If they're good with Josh Allen, James Cook, and Dalton Kincaid, he's probably getting a head coaching job next year.
I think that's probably right. No, I mean, we want them to be good, right?
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
803-0550 is the number. It appears Brandon Ayuk is on the move from San Francisco to Pittsburgh. Is there an opportunity being missed here, as Bills fans see it, for the Bills to add a prominent, fantastic wide receiver to their team? 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to get in on that. Nate Geary's in for Mike Shope. I am the Bulldog. This is WGR. Cool to have you hanging with us today here on a Monday, a dreary, rainy, tornado Monday.
Like a real one.
Like a real,
like
one?
Like a real tornado.
Downtown Buffalo, not out in the sticks somewhere. Like, just, yo. Anyway, hope everybody's doing all right out there. Still some volatile weather in the area, looks like. 803-0550 is the number. Nate Geary in for Mike. I am the Bulldog. And it's fired up. Tony's first up this segment. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. I heard some comments about Ayuk, which I was scanning some online, and I haven't really seen any confirmation of that. But hypothetically speaking, if he does go to Pittsburgh, I know the question was posed before the break, did we miss out?
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't. This is Diggs 2.0 all over again. We don't need this kind of attention. Buffalo is a small, you know, town, small city, blue collar. We believe in working hard, putting our best players out there, yes, but we don't need the drama. We don't need Brandon Ayuk. We definitely don't need to be paying some guy $30 million. I mean, come on,
So I'll hang up and listen to see what you guys have to say.
All right. I think that that is a curiously small-minded approach. The idea that, like, you wouldn't do the Diggs trade again is insanity to me. It ended badly. Of course it did. And the Bills probably had to eat $31 million in dead money a year before they really wanted to, because Diggs forced their hand. Like, whatever was going on behind the scenes, it came to a head and they needed to make a move. But the 4 years, even with the junk last offseason and how his performance dwindled, deteriorated as last season went on, I still would make that trade 100 times out of 100. He changed the entire competitive complexion of this team when he walked in the door. And yes, there ended up being a downside to it. But man, the 4 years that he was here and the Bills were a Super Bowl contender the whole time, in large part because they had an incredibly volatile, explosive offense, I don't know why you don't want to sign up for that again. I mean, there's going to be egos, there's going to be divas, there's going to be, it's pro sports. And those things aren't all equal across the board, and sometimes you grit your teeth and you deal with it. Sometimes you get to the point where you can't deal with it anymore and you got to make a move, which the Bills did this past spring. But man, we don't need that aggravation. Just sounds like you are remembering how it ended and not how it went, because it went great.
They won a lot of games. His first season was historic. One of the best receivers. He went from being really good to absolutely unquestionably elite. And he helped bring Josh Allen from the status of, you know, young gunslinger with a really high ceiling to a player that is believed in the top three. I mean, it's...
Who isn't? We're all really curious to see if this by committee, everyone eats thing works for this offense. And look, it might, and the Bills might get paid off tremendously by not parting with assets. We still don't know what return there is on this trade, right? I haven't even seen a single mention of it on my timeline, but who can trust X.com anymore? So we don't know the cost of the trade. What is Pittsburgh sending the other way for this player? And if the Bills prove to be right, they will look like geniuses. But if they're wrong, they will have shoveled a prime year of Josh Allen's career into a landfill by choice. And that's the risk. Like, I don't know. I'm interested. I'm curious, just like anyone, to see whether they can get away with this. You know, a great way to not have to find that out is to replace Diggs on your roster, which is what Brandon Ayuk would do. So I don't know. We don't need the headache. Just sounds to me, the guy's talking about small town or whatever. The Bills are in the NFL. They are competing for Super Bowls against teams that are paying receivers $35 million a year. And if this doesn't work and they miss out on an opportunity to get a guy, man, I think there'd be a lot more people lining up on the other side of that conversation to talk about the small being the Bills not wanting to go for it than, you know, we're a small town and we're tight-knit and we don't need divas. I mean, I don't even know what to do with that, because it completely ignores the transformative effect Diggs had on the team while he was here. And I just don't think that's fair. 803-0550 is the number. Perhaps news of a big wide receiver trade in the NFL? Wither Bills fans, where are you? 803-0550 is the number. Nate Geary is in for Mike today. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.